It's funny. Yes, thank you. It's funny when you're a ministry student and people in my church family know that you're getting up to give the word. They know you're a little nervous. They know you're a little scared. So they're all asking, how are you doing this morning? You know, and I find it challenging how to answer that question because I want to answer it in faith, but I also want to answer it in reality, like, oh, no, I'm a little nervous this week. And I am a little nervous this week. And the reason that I'm a little nervous this week is because the Lord's really been working with me on this word. And I'm so grateful that we're in this series called Unshakable out of the book of Daniel. I love the Holy Spirit's timing of how he knitted this all together because I've been in a furnace for a few months now. And I know some of you have been in a fiery furnace for quite a few months now, quite a few years now. And Mary, I thank you for those words at the beginning because it really speaks to just this atmosphere that we're in right now in the world. And when I first received this word from the Lord, a few weeks ago, I was thinking to myself, man, this is going to be a heavy sermon. And then it was like, but that's okay. Because Jesus can handle the heavy things. He can handle the heavy things that are happening in our hearts. He can handle the heavy things that are happening in this world. He can handle all the things. So I don't know how this is going to roll out, how this is going to go, but I am trusting in him 100%. I am so thankful, Lord, that you allowed me this time to come and stand before your people. I take it serious. I thank you, Lord, for choosing some little old rag like me and picking him up and cleaning him up and dusting him off and saying, I can use you. I can use you. And Father, there are people in this room that you want to use, that you want to fan into flame the gift that you have laid on the inside of them, Lord. So take us all through this message, Lord. My heart's open to receive anything new that you want to show to me. Lord, I truly pray that David decreases and you increase. I want to hear from you, Lord. I don't need to hear from David. David talks to himself enough. He's good to go. I need to hear from you. I pray this in Jesus' name. So this is week 6 in our series, Unshakable. And the title of today's message is Seeing the Greater Purpose. And last week we left off at a cliffhanger in the saga of the three Jewish men and the fiery furnace. If you remember, King Nebuchadnezzar had a 90-foot idol created and crafted out of gold. And he invited all the government officials to go to the plain in Dura, all the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the advisors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates. And he had them all come. He had all these leaders in the kingdom come to this plain to command them to bow down to and to worship this golden idol. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must bow down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Now, in a moment of levity, because my humor goes this way sometimes, right, Mary? When I read that line, all kinds of music, all of a sudden in my head, I was like, what, a whistle? A ditty, a little hum, like, if we hear any of those things, they have to bow down. But as ridiculous as that command was, it was a serious command on a serious cultural issue that was facing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It spoke to the very real fear and insecurity of the king and his rule, because by this time he's already learned of the interpretation of the dream given by Daniel's one true God, And the king knows that his rule will come to an end. And like most who have been granted or taken great power, he doesn't want to give it up, and he doesn't want it taken away from him. The astrologers and the wise men who were there, part of the wise men that were there in the plain, they call out the fact that the three Jewish men the king promoted to lead to provincial fairs of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they've refused to bow down and worship the image and denounce their refusal to do so. And we learned last week that the Hebrew definition of the word denounce means to devour the pieces of. These astrologers, these wise men, were out for the flesh of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And in the face of this great pressure to conform to the culture that all the government officials, the Babylonians, and even the other Jewish exiles caved to by falling to their faces and bowing, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego respond, they don't need to defend themselves, that the God they serve is able to rescue them. And then they end their response in this pivotal statement, but even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. They responded with truth to the culture, but they left their defense with the Lord. You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were faced with capitulating to a lie. Bow down and worship the image or die. They could have spared their own lives by bowing and worshiping, but they saw the greater purpose, that there is one true God, and his kingdom will never be destroyed. Last week, we asked the question, what idols are we worshiping? What are we bending a knee to? This week, we ask, do we see the greater purpose? When faced with the pressures to conform to the idols today's culture presents to us, when in the middle of the fiery furnace, are we able to see the greater purpose that God has for us in our lives, and importantly for the people around us as well? Will we accept the lie? Will we accept the big lie that there's no absolute truth and we can decide for ourselves what we want the truth to be? His greater purpose for us, Jesus gave us the Great Commission to go share the gospel of Jesus Christ and make disciples of all nations. We are called to actively share our faith and help others grow in their relationship with God. Read with me Daniel 3, 19 through 20, as we get started with this week's sermon. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and threw them into the blazing furnace. The king's attitude to the three Jewish men, his attitude changed. As provincial authorities in Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the king Nebuchadnezzar had granted them significant administrative authority and privileges. They would have likely had direct access to the king through Daniel and probably participated in high-level decision-making. They were very likely granted land and some control over local taxation, thus having authority to enrich themselves financially. And these three men that the king gave this authority to are now in front of him, defying him. They're refusing to bow down. They're refusing to worship the image. And this kindled the king's anger. Now, understanding that anger tends to be an outward expression of inner emotions, what types of emotions do you think the king was experiencing? What was fueling his anger? Fear? Be a little insecurity? He definitely thought he was threatened with losing control of his kingdom. So point one in today's message, the culture is driven by emotions. Be unshakable in the face of lies. The king's anger he was experiencing was very real to him. the authority he thought he had to force these three men and the rest of Babylon to bow and worship this image, it was a lie. He could say it, but he didn't have the authority to do that. The image itself was a lie. The image was not God. And what did God say about other gods? You shall have no other gods before me. The king said, bow. The Lord said, you will not worship other gods. God warned against placing anything, wealth, power, or personal desires. All have the potential to be idols. He warned against putting those things above him. In today's culture, what lies have we been told to accept? We've been told some pretty big lies. There's no God. There are many paths to God. All there is to life is what's before us. And what reasons are we given for being asked to accept these lies? Sometimes they're asking us, well, just be tolerant. You got to be more tolerant of more people. You don't want to be judgmental, do you? Kindness, empathy, whatever the reason, with these lies, sometimes the lies are blatant, sometimes they're subtle. But whether blatant or subtle, they are all designed by the enemy of our souls to turn us away from, to move us away from the Lord, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. And in being told lies, it's very easy to look at the person, the group, or the institution that tells the lie and seeing them as being the enemy. Let's explore that a little bit further in the Word. Read verses 21 through 23 with me, please. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Point two, the real enemy doesn't care who he devours to get to you. Be unshakable in your love for others. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, not just followers of Jesus Christ, but everyone. All the government officials, they're all watching as this showdown between the king and the three Jewish men goes down. Now, while there are not specific construction details about this particular furnace, like the dimensions, this furnace was likely a large industrial-sized furnace when you think about the historical context of the Babylonian Empire and the architecture that they had there. They probably used industrial-sized furnaces to smelt metal or bake bricks. And whether it's an industrial-sized furnace, little furnace, when it comes to fire, obviously human flesh and fabric is really no match for that. The king didn't give a second thought, it seems, that the intensity of the heat would kill his own loyal soldiers, but it did. And we could look at these soldiers as all being enemies, but do we really think that these soldiers, besides being told what they were told by the king, had anything against these Jewish guys? Probably not. To the king, these soldiers were simply a tool to carrying out his death sentence of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, much like the enemy of our souls. He is also the enemy of the souls of those we have been given to serve on behalf of the Lord. It's easy to go into our jobs, community, or the broader culture and see people, groups, or institutions as our enemy, when in truth, the enemy wants to kill us all, followers of Jesus Christ or not. He's given us a greater purpose. Jesus gave us the Great Commission to go share the gospel of Jesus Christ and make disciples of all nations. We are called to actively share our faith and help others grow in their relationship with God. I said that already, but I'm saying it again, and I'm going to say it again, because we need to be reminded of why we're here. The enemy of all of our souls, his main purpose is to get as much of humanity as possible to experience total separation from the Lord forever. The enemy, he knows he's done. He knows he's cooked. He knows how the story ends. He knows that his time is finite. He will use anything, anyone, at any time to achieve his goal. As I was thinking about this, I was remembering that passage about God talking to him to his face, asking him what he's doing. I'm walking to and fro, seeking whom I can devour. First of all, that's pretty bold. Wow. An enemy that will sit in the face of God and say, I'm walking about to and fro in your creation, seeking whom I can devour. The enemy is real. He is not playing around. I literally almost imagine, because I work in the office, he's probably got like a little sign over his door as he walks out to go to the office every day. Oh, what's my mission statement? Oh, to go back and forth looking for who I can devour. He's probably got it on a whiteboard somewhere. Everywhere he goes, I got this job today, and he's on that job. He will do whatever he can to put distance between us and our neighbor, us and our community, us and our coworkers. He will even work to put distance between each of us here in this room and online. He is on his job, and we've got to be aware. Conversely, God will use every situation to bring us closer to him. Whether we got a new career situation or we lose a career, whether it's the birth of a baby or the loss of a life, whether we're in the best of times or the worst of times, whether we're graduating with honors or maybe we're being held back a grade, he can take any situation, and he will take any situation to draw us closer to him. So back to the account of the fiery furnace. As horrific as it was for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to have been thrown in that furnace, as much as God was there for the three, he was also there for all the people who were about to witness his power, his protection, and his love. Whatever the situation, wherever the place, whenever the time, if God sends us, or if God allows a situation in our lives, one of the reasons he does is for, or allows it, is for the express purpose of saving all of humanity. His desire is that we all spend the rest of, all of us spend the rest of eternity experiencing his eternal love and his eternal presence. Don't we want that for ourselves? Amen. I want it for myself. I'm going to speak up. Charles, I don't hear you. Do you want it for yourself? Okay, all right. We're going to take a front seat on this one. But if we want this for ourselves, the love of Christ should compel us to want it for every person that the Lord puts in front of us, whether we like them or not. Whatever the situation, place, or time, when he places us on assignment, we must be unshakable in our love for others. Let's continue the story in verses 24 through 25. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that were tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods." Point three, God can do the impossible. Be unshakable so others may see. People are watching us. The text doesn't tell us what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looked like or what their facial expressions were as the king pronounced their death sentence and the manner in which he was going to kill them or have them killed. The text didn't say whether they screamed as they fell in the furnace. What the king did see and what the text tells us is that the furnace had not consumed them. Sometimes it's hard to see even the potential for good in some situations, but God can do the seeming impossible. Last week when we were singing the worship song, Set a Fire, there's one lyric in the song that says, no place I'd rather be than here in your love. And Mary, I think you were behind me as we were singing that song. And I tried to hold it together, but I couldn't hold it together. Because as I was singing that song and I was singing those lyrics and I was thinking, Lord, there's no place I'd rather be than here in your love, I started getting flashes of images of the places I've been, especially during my act of alcoholism. And there was this one image in particular. I had drunk alcoholically for 27 years. And at this time in San Francisco, it had been about 20 years. And part of my drinking habit was that I would blackout drink all the time. And I remember this one time I came out of a blackout in the middle of the street somewhere in San Francisco. And I remember looking at the street signs, and I couldn't even tell from the street signs where I was. And I remember reaching down in my pockets to see how much money I had, and I didn't have enough money to take a cab home in the middle of the night. So I just started walking, and I remember walking past this church, and this church had this little alcove around the front door. And I just walked up those steps, and I went into the alcove, and I sat down. And I sat there for several hours, shivering, until the train station opened in the morning. And I knew in that moment as I was sitting there, in this one moment of clarity, and I thought to myself, I'm going to die an alcoholic. I'm going to lose everything, and I'm going to be homeless. And been there, done that. And as I was singing that song last Sunday there in front of you, Mary, I couldn't hold it together because all of a sudden, all these years later, I'm sitting in a church singing, no place I'd rather be than here in your love. Though it was the circumstances, not the alcoholism, I jumped into a furnace of my own making. But nevertheless, Jesus was my second man in the fire that night. When on assignment for the Lord or walking through an unexpected challenge, if we can fix our hearts and our minds on the greater purpose like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, we too can walk in unshakable faith that leads others to seeing the presence of God in our lives. Maybe they won't know 100% what it is or who it is, but they will know that there's something different happening in us that they may want to know a little bit more about. King Nebuchadnezzar had no idea who the fourth man in the fire was. Some biblical scholars say it was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus, while others interpret the fourth being as an angel sent by God. In either case, the king knew the presence was the reason the three men were freely walking about unhurt. When have you been in a situation where everyone counted you out, defeated, but the Lord pulled you through? Remember those times as you walk through your present furnace or the one to come. These times are what become our testimonies. As horrible as much of my 27 years of drinking was, so much of my identity, as horrible as those 27 years of drinking was, you hear me talk about it a lot. Not because I have my identity in being a recovering alcoholic, but because I'm constantly reminded of the goodness of the Lord, the power of the Lord. To drink for 27 years and not get sober until you're 43, and to have an opportunity to stand up here today, nervous or not nervous, it's an amazing thing to me. Even as you guys were doing the worship songs this morning, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm like trying to keep myself together. I'm like, dude, you have to speak. But the Lord is so good. These fiery furnaces that we find ourselves in, those fiery furnaces that we kind of jump in ourselves sometimes, don't let them go to waste. Let these things be your testimony. Because I'm a person who would think, I'm a total loser. I would drink for 27 years as an alcoholic and not get sober till 43. And one of my first jobs is, you know, working at Target for $7.25 an hour at 43. And my supervisor's 17 years old. I could let something like that completely tear me down. That's the power of the Lord. I tell you, I would go in that job at Target every day, $7.25 an hour, smiling, full of energy. People are like, wow, you're always so happy. I'm like, you didn't see that church I was sitting at that day. You didn't see those car accidents I was in. You didn't see the times I would irresponsibly quit a job or not show up for work. You didn't see those times where I didn't care what my bosses thought about me. And there I was now, making $7.25 an hour, trying to do the best job I possibly could. That's the power of the change of the Lord. Allow the fiery furnace to be parts of your testimony, because we got a greater purpose to them. Let's read Daniel 26 through 30 together. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no spell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent an angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command. Can we pause for a second? Every time I read this part, they trusted in him and defied the king's command. I'm like, dude, you're the king. You're the one who set this all in motion. But anyway, I see weird things. Anyway, let's go back. And were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Point 4, God does immeasurably more than all. Be unshakable in your confidence in the Lord. Praise be to the God of Shadrach who rescued his servants. Without fully realizing it, the king pointed to God's greater purpose, that all Babylon would know that he is the one true God and that his kingdom will reign forever and ever and ever. And we can see in this text that even with the king's proclamation that there is one true God, the king still doesn't understand what that means, because if he did, he would have humbled himself and not issued such a crazy decree afterwards, decreeing that anyone who said anything against the one true God would be cut into pieces. The king thought he needed to defend the one true God, like he felt like he needed to defend the many gods that he had. But he could not comprehend what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego already knew. And what we want you to know is you respond to the culture with truth. You exercise your character based on the truth. You love your neighbor based on the truth. And you serve the Lord in the specific calling he has given to you And I'm going to come back to that based on the truth. The Lord will defend himself. As we are coming towards the end of today's message, whatever fiery furnace you find yourself in today, whether it's a furnace you've been thrown into, fallen into, or a fiery furnace you've jumped into yourself, I want you to know that there's a greater purpose, directly or indirectly, to that furnace you are in. I'm going to share a picture with you for a second. Could you put that up, Jeremiah? So that's me and my cousin Jessica. Some of you have met Jessica before. She's the one who came with me the first time I came to visit the church. And I think she came to one of the dinners a few weeks ago. But whenever this picture pops up in my memory reel of my phone, I always pause. And I pause because I remember the exact date it was taken, January 28th, 2023. On that day, my cousin Jessica and I had visited the Museum of Illusion in D.C. We had an awesome time. We went to a Cuban restaurant after that. And that was just things that me and my cousin did. It was when I was living in Crofton and she was up in Bowie. So we were always getting together, going to restaurants in Annapolis and all over the place, to the point that I can't tell you the other restaurants that we went to, the times or the dates, but I remember this one. And I remember this one because within 24 hours of having taken that picture, I would get a call from my aunt, Jessica's mother, from North Carolina, telling me my mother had had two heart attacks and had to be revived and brought back to life twice. Within hours of that, after driving to North Carolina that night, I would learn that my mother had cancer and was given 3 weeks to 3 months to live. That was a fiery furnace I was not anticipating. But the Lord had an assignment for me in this fiery furnace. My assignment was to care for my mother in her final days and to minister to her as I provided care for her. Lord, I need you in this fiery furnace with me. In fact, one conversation me and my mother was having, she was thanking me for being there. And of course, I'm like, okay, Mom, no place I'd rather be than here in your love. But she has shared this story with me. She said that when me and my sister were very young, she said that the Lord spoke to her one day and said that your children are going to be a blessing to you and your children are going to minister to you. And when my sister was sick with cancer, my mother was taking care of her. My mom told me, your sister ministered to me all the time. She knew that she was passing away. She knew who she was in Christ, and she was at peace with it. My sister was 27 when she passed away. And she was ministering to my mother as she was dying herself. And there I was on assignment in this fiery furnace. And my mom's like, thank you, not just for being here, but thank you for ministering to me. The Lord had a higher purpose, a greater purpose for me in that fiery furnace. My mother passed away. Oops, I lost my place. I know when my mom passed away. I just don't want to get too far off track here. But my mom passed away 3 months later on April the 9th. Maybe I'm not supposed to see it. And I had a new assignment then. And that assignment was to lay my mom to rest. Lord, I need you in this fiery furnace with me. And during her going home service, I remember standing up and giving remarks. And as I'm giving remarks, I'm thinking about the purpose for my life. Because I'm single and I don't have children, I was talking to the crowd, but also talking to the Lord, and I was asking the question, Lord, now that I've laid my father to rest, now that I've laid my sister to rest, now that I've laid my mother to rest, there's no one else left in my immediate family. What is my purpose now? What am I here for? And before I could get the full question out of my mind and the statement out of my mouth, the Lord spoke from the center of my soul and said, I've got a new assignment for you now. And I knew in that exact moment that he was calling me to the ministry. And I could tell because my voice had changed. My inflection had changed. And I'm talking to the people, and before I could keep it back in my mouth, I'd say, the Lord has given me a new assignment, and I need you to ask me about it, because I need to be held accountable to the thing that the Lord called me to do. There's always a greater purpose that the Lord has for us in these fiery furnaces. The Lord called me to the ministry. I'm doing good, right? No, not so good. Not so good. Not so good. So this past Monday, I had an opportunity to go to an ordination service at for a minister, new minister in the Wesleyan denomination, our denomination. And I remember sitting in this ordination service, and when the new minister had got up to go on the stage and get on his knees as they laid hands on him, as they were laying hands on him and praying for him, I'm looking at him and I'm like, I feel like I see it. I know I can't see it, but I literally sense the Spirit of the Lord descending on this man as they're praying for him. And this big, burly chested man, when he stood up, tears were just streaming down his face. And I'm looking at him and I'm like, wow, the Lord has really affected his life. He has really changed him. This, you could tell by looking at him that he had been through something. As he went through training and schooling to become a minister. And I'm happy for him and I'm excited. And as much as I didn't want to talk to people before, I was so excited after it was over, and I'm running around and I'm talking to people. I'm like, woo, this the Lord called me too, you know? And I'm all excited. And less than 24 hours later, I'm in my home. It's been a long day at work. I was out late on Monday. And I remember getting ready to go to bed. I had my snacks ready. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I better pray. And I said it that casually. I had full intention to go into my little prayer chair and praying for 2 or 3 minutes and going on to bed and getting my snacks. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, what is wrong with you? The Lord put a gift in you. Less than 24 hours ago, you're excited and you're clapping for people. You're sensing the presence of the Lord descending on somebody as they're laying hands on them. And now you barely want to give the Lord 5 minutes in prayer. And that really disturbed me, because the Lord was with me in my mother's going home service saying, I've got a new assignment for you. He put that gift on the inside of me. He gave me that responsibility. And the furnace that I'm in right now, I was allowing that furnace to sap the energy out of me. I was allowing that furnace to take my eye off the greater purpose that the Lord had for my life and the calling that he put on my life. And I literally just started crying out to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, I am so sorry. Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know why I'm in this place. I don't understand why I'm doing the things that I'm doing. I don't know why I'm just taking this gift and just disregarding it. And the Lord spoke into my spirit. He said the phrase, fan in the flames. And I was like, that sounds like something Paul would say, because he's always telling somebody what to do. But, and excuse me for real quick, because I do want to read it, and I meant to take my Bible out earlier, because I want you to hear those words, not my words. In 2 Timothy, the first chapter, starting at verse 6, it says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hand. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. I cried out to the Lord. I was seeking him, and I'm like, Lord, I need an answer for why I'm in this headspace that I'm in. and he sent me straight to an answer. But he said, keep reading, because I didn't understand where my passion was and where that was at. So he took me to chapter 4 and verse 1 there, and it says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. And I said, yes, Lord, please forgive me for not taking this gift even more serious. Because it wasn't that I didn't take the gift as serious at all, but I was letting this fiery furnace that I'm in now take me off the course that the Lord has set for me. He says, see the greater purpose. Keep reading, David, because you want to know what your passion is. So in verse 3, it says, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. And I said, thank you, Lord. I said it much louder than that because I was by myself. Because he showed to me in his word what my passion was. And it's true. I have a passion for the truth. I have a passion for the word. I'm deeply disturbed, not from a place of anger, but from a place of hurt when I hear people proclaiming untruths to be true. Because I know it's something that's taken them further and further away from the Lord. And the reason I share this, because I was going to end this sermon differently, but the Lord was dealing with me with this first. But he said, I want you to tell them, because there's people in this church, people in this room, people online for whom the God has put a gift in you. And he wants you to fan into flame this gift and get it active. This isn't a bridge church recruiting message. If the Lord has a gift in you that takes you somewhere else, we want you to fan into flame that gift and follow where the Lord is leading you. This kingdom is big enough. The work field is big enough. This is not a recruiting video, but I just feel in my spirit that these fiery furnaces that we're in, they're holding us back. And it doesn't diminish the issues that you're dealing with, not at all. They're very serious. They're very real. I know what some of those things are. That's not what this message is about. It's about the greater purpose that the Lord has for us. Because as I was going through my own fiery furnace over these last few months and just watching the energy being sucked out of me, and the Lord's like, I've got a remedy for you. It's my word that you're so passionate about. Get in my word. I've got a remedy for you. It's called prayer. Come and talk to me. I've got the answers that you need. You're not going to find your answers, David, in a bag of cookies or a bucket of ice cream. Those are my favorite things when I'm dealing with stress. But I just wanted to leave that with you, that these fiery furnaces that we're in, they're not meant to destroy us or kill us. There's a purpose that can drive us closer to the Lord in these fiery furnaces. So don't be discouraged. Keep moving forward. Keep doing what the Lord says. And if you could put it at the bottom line slide, we can be unshakable in the furnace. God is unshakable in the fire.